Morning. Today's daf in Tzvachim is Mem Hey. We are on Mem Dalem and Beis. We're at the two dots right in the middle of the Amud. Asher Yeshivu. The Gemara quotes from the pasuk. Actually, it's this is going back to a Brisa. The Torah in Parshas Korach tells us that the Kohanim are entitled to a number of various matnos kahuna, a number of gifts, 24 gifts in all. The Torah outlines over there. And so the Gemara over here notes that a number of various karbanos which are designated for the Kohanim, which the Torah doesn't specify, are to go to the Kohanim. And so therefore we are using the Psukim in Parshas Korach in order to clarify that point. In the larger picture of the Gemara is discussing what is and what is not subject to pigel, which takes us all the way back to the Mishnah on Membeis Amud Beis. And so in the larger context, the Gemara is still in the throes of another lengthy discussion of pigel. We're going to come back to pigel in just a moment. Just finishing up, L'chol Ashamam. This is where we left off yesterday. Right, the Gemara explained that the Chatzos Olf is going to the Kohanim and eaten by the Kohanim, which the Gemara asked the question yesterday. I mean, I'm elaborating a little bit on the Gemara's question, but we, of course, knew that, meaning it's a carbon chatas, meaning, understandably, it's not an animal, it's a bird, but it's a carbon chatas. So, of course, the Kohanim are entitled to it. Why would I have thought differently? So the Gemara's explanation is it's because of the way that the carbon chatas is prepared. The chatas of a bird is prepared much differently than that of regular shechita. That of regular shechita requires that the knife be applied to the front of the neck of a bird, where in a back and forth motion you're going to be severing the trachea and the esophagus. Actually, by bird it's trachea or the esophagus. It's siman echad, but either way, in other words, but it has to be from the front. And meanwhile, when it comes to the preparation of a bird for a karban, so the kohen is going to be taking his thumbnail and inserting it into the back of the neck of the bird, normally rendering it a nevela. And yet, this is the way the Torah instructs it to be done for a karban. So the Torah describes this as being malika. So so I might have thought now that in other words, it's a karban, and this is the way it's prepared, but the Kohanim shouldn't be eating it, meaning it's a nevela. That's the havamina. And the maskan is no. Now, the maskan is no is, what does that mean, no? No, it's not a nevela. I mean, presumably, meaning no, this is now considered shechita, but in other words, kachem version of shechita. Okay, something along those lines. Anyway, that's where we ended yesterday. We're continuing the Gemara today. L'chol ashamam. L'rabbas ashen nazir. V'ashem etzara. So the Gemara says that the L'chol ashamam mentioned in Parshas Korach is an inclusion of the ashem nazir and the ashem etzara that are going to be given over to the Kohanim, eaten by the Kohanim. Sa'agdat chaymin l'hachshir ka'asin. And again, the Gemara says, look, it's l'hachshir. Meaning, I might have thought that it is not for the purposes of providing any kind of kapara. And again, the havamina would have been that Kohanim eat from the carbon chatos and from the carbon ashram, but that's only when it's there to provide a kapara. But over here, it's not providing a kapara. It's just simply it's a hechsher. It provides them an ability to go into the Beis HaMikdash and eat carbon once again. So kamash malan. So the Gemara is just one detail the Gemara is stuck on. Asher Metzorah be'ejik sivbei. Asher Metzorah, the Torah tells us very clearly that the Asher Metzorah goes over to the Kohen and is eaten by the Kohanim. So I don't need a special drush or a ribui. So El Rabbas Asher Nazir Kasher Metzorah. So the Gemara says, you're right. And in terms of, we're just going to make a small modification. We mean to say that the ribuis for the Asher Nazir is to be treated like the Asher Metzorah, just like the Asher Metzorah. Kohen eats from it, Asher Nazir, Kohen eats from that as well. Asher Yeshivu. Continuing now, the Gemara quotes another ribui, and that's Gezel Hager. That's a reference to Gezel Hager. Gezel Hager, you follow Sedra last week, so you know that it's part of the very long Sedra that we had last week, Parshas Noso. So we know that stuck somewhere in the middle of the Sedra is the Parsha of Gezel Hager. Gezel Hager means to say as follows. Someone stole from a ger, and being that he's a Gershon is Gar Kakana Nola Dami, so his conversion makes him, from a halachic standpoint, related to nobody. If he gets married and has children, so that's a halachic family. But if he doesn't get married and he doesn't have children, so now he's an independent. He's a Jew with no family. So, I mean, you know, we're all his family, but that's very nice. But in other words, halachically, he has no right. He has no next of kin. So now in the event that, let's say, somebody steals from him, which I always find to be heartbreaking, meaning the guy converted and then someone stole from him. So, like, okay, it's a heartbreaking scenario. And then the Goslem wants to do tshuva and now wants to return the item back to him, but he died. So now what? Meaning, okay, so in other words, normally the halacha demands that you give it to the next family member. He's a ger, he doesn't have a family member. So who is the recipient? So we learned in the Sedra yesterday, two days ago now. Okay, long weekend. So we learned in the Sedra yesterday that it's given over to the Kohanim. And this is the parsha of Gezel Hager. So Asher Yeshiva is the Gezel Hager. So Lechahu, Shechai Yafil Lekadosh Bosa Isha. In fact, in other words, when this Gezel Hager is given over to the Kohanim, it's totally property of the Kohanim. And the Gemara, and this is the way the Gemara classically describes it, something being fully owned by somebody. Do you have the right to be Mekadosh a woman with it? Can you betroth the woman with this money? If you can, it's yours. So the Gemara says that's true. In other words, Asher Yeshiva totally entitles the Kohanim with this Gzela. Tanya, the Gemara quotes a Brisa. Okay, and now, after all that, we go back to our Mishnah and we head back to one more discussion of pickle before we go on to the next Mishnah, only so that we could discuss pickle a little bit more. But in other words, but for now, our last discussion of our Mishnah is our Mishnah's topic of pickle. Our Mishnah over here treated us to the discussion of what is and what is not subject to pickle, and it's based on the prototype. What's the prototype? Shlamim. When the Torah introduces us to pickle in Perek Zayin of Sefer Vayikra, Parshat Tzav, so the Torah tells us that the Torah gives us the idea, the concept of pickle, but as it relates to karma shlamim. So that means to say that shlamim now becomes the prototype, and anything that models itself, patterns itself after karma shlamim, is subject to pickle, but something that is not modeled after shlamim is not subject to a karma pickle. So for example, we've been discussing extensively the last couple of days, the idea of matir nitar. In other words, the matir is what creates, it's the catalyst that creates the pickle. But in other words, it itself is not subject to pigel, and that which it permits is in fact going to get the status of pigel. We spent already a lot of time discussing this point. It applies to all karbanos, and according to our Mishnah, it even applies to a chatas apnimius. The chatas apnimius is really unusual in that the animal is shechted, but as far as the blood is concerned, the kohen takes the blood in a bowl and goes past the mizbech achitzon, goes into the heichal, and sprinkles the blood seven times opposite the peroches, and four times on the four corners of the mizbech apanimi. Shiraim are then poured on the outer mizbeach, and then imurim are offered on the mizbeach, but as far as the rest of the animal is concerned, the rest of the animal is burnt in the beis hadeshen, area outside the beis hamikdash. Okay, that's the chatzos apanimius. Is that going to be subject to pigel? So our Mishnah brings down two opinions on this matter. Our Mishnah, Mem Gemal Amar Aleph, told us that according to the Chachamim, it is subject to pigel. And then the Mishnah brought in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's not subject to pigel. Kol she'eino amizbech achitzon kishlamim, ein chayav mishim pigel. In other words, Rabbi Shimon says, look, it so deviates from the shlamim prototype that it can't be subject to pigel because in order for it to be pickle, it has to model, it has to follow the prototype of the Karmish Lamim. This is not Shechtin and the blood, it is Shechtin. But the blood is not sprinkled on the outer Mizbeach, at least primarily, and so therefore it's not going to be subject to pickle. That is what we learned back in the Mishnah. So it's a machlokus by the Chatzos Panimius. Is there such a concept of pickle? We are now turning to our Gemara, and we are on Mem Dalam and Beis along this discussion. Tanya, we learned in the following brisa, Rebbe Lazar, Omer Mishum, Rebbe Yossi Aglili. Rebbe Lazar says, in the name of Rebbe Yossi Aglili, Pigel bedavar nasa bechutz, pigel pigel. Bedavar nasa befnim, lo pigel. So if your mefaga was something which is done outside, so it's pigel. And if if your mefaga was something that's done inside, it is not pigel. Okay. Now, first of all, what is he even talking about? So as you look at Rashi over here, he's talking about the Parma Nisrafim, the Parmanis Rafim, meaning the Chatos HaPrimus that we've been describing. And over here, what he's going to be taking now is kind of like a middle position, which is, again, in our Mishnah, the Chachamim say it is subject to Pigel. Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah says it's not subject to Pigel. And over here, this is going to be kind of like almost like a middle position. And what is the middle position? It depends on what part of the Avodah you are focusing on. Meaning with the Chatzos HaPanimius, it could be eligible for pigel, but it depends what your mind is on. So if you're mefagel, I'm going to read it again. Pigel b'davar hanasa b'chutz pigel. So if you're intent on something that's done outside of the heichal, meaning by the mizbech hachitzon, so then it's pigel. However, it's b'davar nasa b'fnim lo pigel ketzad. So let's spell this out. Meaning the just hearing it in the abstract is a little bit difficult, but if we hear it now with the details and examples, so it'll be a little bit better. The Gemara here gives us the examples. Hay omid b'chutz v'omer. Let's say the person standing outside and he says the following. Harein ishoche lahazos midam lamacha. So let's say he says that I'm going to shecht it so I can do the sprinkling tomorrow. Now again, it's a chazas of panimis. Where's the sprinkling done? In the heichal. Okay, Meaning it's not going to be subject to pigel. If his mind is going on an avoda that's done in the heichal, so it's not subject to pigel. In other words, and I guess the explanation is that it so deviates from the classic shlamim where the blood is sprinkled on the outside. However, I'm sorry, lahazos midam lamach lo pigel. Shemachshava b'chutz b'davar nas b'fnim lo pigel. Okay, haya omid b'fnim v'omer hareini mazal manas lahakter imur lishbok shiran lamachar. Let's say he is on the inside, meaning, where is he right now? In the heichal, sprinkling from the dam, inside. And while sprinkling, he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to burn the fats, or I'm going to pour the blood tomorrow, lo pigel. So once again, we are not at the point of pigel. Why? Because once again, where's the machshava occurring? The machshava is occurring in the heichal. Once again, we are so deviating from the prototype.
Isn't the heichal a matir in this case?
It is, but in other words, again, you go back to the prototype. You got to keep going back to the prototype. Prototype is shlamim. Shlamim is done totally outside. All the avodas are done outside. So in other words, if I'm now currently doing an avoda, it's an avoda, you're right. But in other words, it's an avoda in the heichal, it deviates from the prototype. And therefore not going to be subject to a pigal, aval. But even by chatas panimias, you could do it. Meaning there is a way, you don't want to, of course. But you could do it. There is a way to be mefagel, and how is that? Haya omid b'chutz v'omer. So let's say now you're standing outside, meaning what avoda you're doing outside, you're doing the shechting. V'omer. And the Kabbalah says that also could be done outside. Hareini shochei, but we're going to focus on shechita. Hareini shochei l'shpoch shirayim l'machar. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pour the blood tomorrow. So now, it's a chata sampanimius, but keep this in mind. We are now doing the shechita outside of the heichal, which means that it's b'chutz. And we're considering doing an avoda of shficha shirayim, which is also b'chutz. So now, even though it's a chatas panimios, that which he's doing and focusing on is b'chutz. Now, ol hakti yimurim lamachar, or to be makter the yimurim tomorrow, pigel. So now, it's pigel. Even though it's a chatas panimios, but because it's during a procedure that is outside, on an avoda that's outside, or I should say better, on a consumption that's outside, so now you can hit pigel. Shemachshava b'chutz b'davar nas b'chutz. Because it is a machshava b'chutz with something that is done b'chutz.
So it's the location of the machshava that makes a difference.
You've talked about it.
Hmm?
Because shirayim is not really a avoda.
No, but in other words, remember, pigel is on a consumption. Meaning, it's during an avoda about a consumption. In other words, someone's going to consume it outside of the time or outside of its proper place. Okay?
All of it, or you know, like you...
That's like what we said earlier. In other words, only kazayas. Like we said earlier.
Yeah, but part of it goes to on the Mizbeach HaPanimi. So what?
Only the... No, in other words, if he thinks about the Mizbeach HaPanimi,
no.
According to this opinion...
He thinks about outside, but then he has to put some on the Panimi. The part that was in Panimi...
Again, remember, I keep going back to this point. This is the critical point when we're talking about Pegel. It's on the Machshava. In other words, it's always on the machshava. The machshava is the most critical point about pigel. It is pigel. Pigel is on the machshava. But it has to be a correct machshava. I mean, when I say correct, meaning something which is effective. So in other words, it has to be done on something that is chutz. And so, if while doing the shechita on the chatzis panimi, it's considering about either shvichas shirayim or haktaras yimurim, which is done on the outside, so according to this opinion, so now you've hit it. You've hit now pigel, even by chatzis panimi. So I'm a Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, my crop. And Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, I'm going to quote a pasuk that supports this as well. The pasuk says, Kasher Yiram Shor Zevach Shlamim, that just like we take off from the Shor Zevach Shlamim, meaning when the Torah is introducing us to the Parkoin Gadol, which is one of the Chatzos Panimios, the Torah says, you know what, you're going to take off the Emorim, just like we take off the Emorim of a Shlamim. So to which the Gemara asks the simple question, even without the Torah having to tell us just like, we would have known that. What's the Torah coming to tell us? That it's just like the shores of Echishlamim. Me'ata ela makish parkon Mashiach l'shores of Echishlamim. So over here we're creating a hekesh. Mar shores of Echishlamim. Ashiu masav v'machshavosav al mizbech achitzon. Av parkon Mashiach ashiu machshavosav v'masav al mizbech achitzon. And what the Torah is telling us is how to successfully do a pigle. When I have when I have a standard shlamim, so how am I mefagol? Bachutz. Meaning I shecht outside in the Azara. I am considering doing consumption and achila that is done bachutz. That's how you're going to do pigle. So now if I have a chatzos of panimius, as long as the machshava and the achila are bachutz, bachutz meaning in the Azara, so then one can successfully violate the Isra pigle. That's what the Torah is teaching us. Am Rav Nachman, am Rav Baravu, am Rav Halacha Kareb Elazar. Okay, and this is in fact the halacha. So in other words, with chatzos of panimius and pigle, so there are, according to my research, three opinions on the matter. If you go back to the Mishnah, there's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that parmen nisrafim, serum nisrafim, damam matir simurayim likarev. In other words, the blood is matir the imurim. As a result of that, it follows the structure of matir nitar, and therefore should be subject to pigel. And seemingly, according to the Chachamim of our Mishnah, under any and all circumstances, regardless of whether the machshava is on something bachutz or bifnim, then there's the opinion in the Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon just simply seems to exclude it altogether, because in other words, it doesn't simply follow the prototype of the shlamim, so therefore it is totally excluded from pigel. And then we have this like middle approach of Rebbe Lazar that we just introduced ourselves over here on Mem Dalamud Beis that teaches us that it could, chatzos of panimius could be subject to pigel, with the provision being that the avoda that you're doing and the consumption you're thinking about is an azara avoda and an azara consumption. If, however, you're thinking about something to be done in the inside, or you're having the machshava while doing an avoda on the inside, so then it's not going to be subject to pigel. And the Gemara says this is in fact the halacha. And here, Hedy, just one second. So, and here, Hedy, the Gemara now opens up a question and a real deep philosophical issue. So let me read this again. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu, Amar Rav Halacha Kareb Elazar, Shamar Mishim Rabbi Yosi. So Amar Rav Hilchas Ala Mashicha. So the Gemara says Hilchas Ala Mashicha, meaning that's very good that you're passing the halacha. Now we know we're going to leave the daf today. We're all going to know now that Chatzos of Panimius is a subject to pigle. It's so funny you asked. I learned today in the daf that there are three opinions on the matter, and I learned that of the three opinions on the matter, so we don't accept either opinion that's presented in the Mishnah. Interesting. Even if you know the Mishnah, you're not going to know the halacha. Meaning the halacha follows like this third opinion presented in the Braisa on Mem Dalamud Beis. And so funny you should ask. And we just learned together in the name of Rav Nachman that the halacha follows like this middle position that you can have a machshavas pigol on a chatzos of panimius. It just simply depends on whether or not the machshava is bachutz on an avoda that's done on a consumption that's done bachutz. It's great that you ask. I know the halacha. And to which the Gemara says, okay, you're great. It's great. You know the halacha, right? Our local rabbi is not going to be getting that shaila. And he's not going to be receiving the shaila in the foreseeable future. Meaning, this is Hilchus Ala Mashicha. We need the Mashiach. We need him to come and to help us build the third base of Mikdash. And then and only then do we have this question. So, is there a point in paskening halacha on something which is for the Yemos Mashiach? So, Amalei Abaye, Ela Me'atako, Shchitas Kashem Lo Lisnei, Hilchus Ala Mashicha Hu. Ela Josh V'Kabaschar, Achanami Josh V'Kabaschar. So, to which the Gemara's answer... Abai's answer goes like this. Look, right now we are in our 45th daf of the Zvachim. So the truth of the matter is that if you're going to question whether or not we should be paskening halacha on anything that we're learning in Zvachim, so why don't we just close the Gemara right now and open up a Masechta Shabbos, right, or Erevin, or anything which is halacha l'maisa, and we should be learning that, meaning, and we shouldn't be spending our time with this. Ella Josh Vikabaschar, meaning no, that's not the right attitude. The proper attitude is that not only is learning this part and parcel of Torah, but even deciding halacha is part and parcel of Torah. And so the Gemara says there is a value. Josh Vikabaschar. So the Gemara says, Hachanam Josh Vikabaschar, Hachikamin Alach, Hilchas Alamali. So he says, no, you misunderstood. Meaning, in terms of the value of learning this, I never even questioned that. That was never even part of my question. I certainly know that there's a value to learning this. This is part of the corpus of Torah. It's Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is all a window into into knowing and understanding Hashem better. I never question that. What I question is that we have a machlokus on something that has no practical application until Mashiach comes, and so therefore I'm asking about the pasuking of halacha. That's what I'm questioning. Lishna achrina amrle halacha kamina. Another version, but basically the same point. Point is that I'm not questioning is there a value to learning this. Of course, there's a value to learning this. It's the Torah. And what I'm asking is, do we have to pasken the halacha? Is that necessary? And it's interesting now, where does the Gemara land on this issue? With an open-ended question. Meaning, so is there a value to learning this? Absolutely. It's Ratzon Hashem. It's Torah. Right? In other words, I can't understand. It's as valuable to learn this as any other part of Torah. Is there a value in deciding the halacha? So, quite frankly, the Gemara leaves the question open-ended. Now, even though the Gemara leaves the question open-ended, we know that the Rambam, right, we'll use him as our prime example, so he does pass on the halacha. Meaning, on all these issues, the Rambam writes a halachic work, and he decides on many of these points, I should say, rather, on all these points, he decides the halacha on all these points, even though it's Tilchus Sola
Mashiach. Two questions.
Yeah.
First question is, how could a dad, Yachid Abi Elazar, go against Han and be number one? Number two is, how could the final decision be based on a brisa, essentially trumping a Mishnah?
Yeah, so two points. Number one, we already see that's a machlokas in the Mishnah. So in other words, so at least we already see dissent. Two, and I didn't see anyone say this, so for whatever it's worth. Number two is that it could very well be that he's just simply providing a modification in the Tanakhama. Meaning the Tanakhama is only telling us that there is a pigal concept even as it relates to chatzos and panimis. He's just simply modifying that viewpoint and saying, it's true, but here are the parameters. Now, again, what I'm saying is not stated clearly in the Gemara. But your question is excellent. It really did bother me as well. And so maybe it's just simply, this is his understanding of the parameters of this viewpoint. It could, but that could be. Okay, yeah, Danny.
No, I just said paskening is also Torah.
Paskening is Torah, but paskening, right. In other words, right. It could.
The process of deciding is Torah.
Right, Danny's asking whether or not paskening is part and parcel of Torah. It could very well be that, in other words, we have a general principle. I mean, I know these are big issues, which I'm not going to really satisfactorily explain within the next 2 minutes or 30 seconds. Meaning, we have a general idea of Eilav Eilav Divrei Elokim Chayim, which is that when you have multiple positions found in the Mishnah, in the Braisa, and the Gemara, so there is value to each position. Each position, it's not right and wrong, it's just different perspectives of how to look at something. So that is, in other words, when analyzing all the different branches and all the different tentacles of the Torah, so that every point of it has a value. Gemara spends pages and pages on Beit Shammai, right? At the beginning of Nida, Masechta Nida, the Gemara spends pages on Beit Shammai. It's not an accepted position, but in other words, it's part and parcel of Torah, it has a value. But in terms of passing the halacha, it could very well be, I mean, this is what's going into the Gemara's question over here, it could very well be that that's just simply that's a pragmatic issue. Meaning, okay, in other words, they're both positions have value, but now, like, how do we wake up in the morning, and how do we wash our hands, and how do we make brachos, and how do we keep Shabbos? So it could just simply be a pragmatic issue. And over here, when it comes to kachim, there's no pragmatic value. Right? Possibly. Okay. All right. We're on the Mishnah Mem Hamad Aleph, and continue now in the discussion. So when Mashiach comes, so in other words, our job, let's put it this way, our job will be that we need to know all this information, and then when Mashiach comes, so then he's going to tell us, okay, now that you know all that, so this is the way we're going to go. Meaning, okay, he'll tell us which one to follow. Okay, our next Mishnah now is going to be opening up the discussion of Karbanos from the Goyim. As just a broader comment for a moment, and then we're going to go to the Mishnah. In other words, the Beis HaMikdash is our Beis HaMikdash, and it's our spiritual central. But meanwhile, so in other words, we're also Orla Goyim, and it also could provide a means, an avenue for the Goyim also to do a form of avoda, modified, of course, very limited, but also for the Goyim as well. A Goy could be Makdish and Makriv a carbon on our Beis HaMikdash. So right away, let's just put some serious limitations on it. First of all, no chiyuvim. In other words, no obligatory korbanos. So in other words, no chatas, no asham. In other words, it is specifically nedava. It is only voluntary offerings that can be offered by goyim. Shlamim, I have somewhere in my head, it's not discussed in today's daf. I have somewhere in my head that it's either no or machlokas.
If a non-Jew, like, it goes against this Shiva halacha b'Noach, right?
There's no kapar.
There's no kapar.
There's no kapar, there's no karban. Right, correct. Say, okay, so in other words, so the only thing that we really can even be talking about regarding a guy and bringing a karban is only going to be a karban adava. And for our purposes right now, let's even just say it's an ola. And if I remember or refresh my memory on a shlamim, I will return to you. And I'll get back to you on that information. Okay, so a guy can bring a karban, it's really limited. He can only bring an adava. And now what we're going to be learning together is, what about the psulim of a karban? Do they apply to the karban brought by a guy? The Mishnah over here introduces us to this topic. Kache ovde kochavim. A karban of a guy. Ein chayavan aleh mishum pigal noser v'tameh. So it's not subject to the disqualification to pigal noser and tameh. Meaning it's seemingly that it's a karban, but not with all of the rules and regulations. You could say, and the Mishnah does not say this, so once again, cautionary word to everybody, you could say that albeit it's a karban, but it's a modified karban. It pales a little bit in terms of the kedusha to that of a karban of a Jew. And so therefore it is not going to have that kind of sensitivity where it's going to be subject to all these disqualifications of the pigel, noser, and tummy. Just simply impervious to these disqualifications. Now, if you take such a carpet and you shecht it outside the base of Mikdash, so you are going to, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're going to be potter, you're going to be exempt. Meaning that, once again, I'm suggesting, it could be that it's such a lesser carbon to the degree in which, even if I took it and shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash, which under normal circumstances, you took a karban, shechting it outside of the area of the Beis HaMikdash, so you're subject to kares. That's a kares penalty. But over here, you'd be potter, you'd be exempt. Now, in other words, you shouldn't do it, obviously, but you wouldn't be subject to the kares. Rav Yossi, on the other hand, disagrees. He says, you are going to be chayven. That machlok between Rabbi Shimon and Rav Yossi is going to be explored later on. The Tana Rabbanan. We'll start with the Braisa on Mem Hamad Aleph. The Gemara opens up the following discussion. So when it comes to the carbon of a guy, so you cannot benefit from it, but it's not subject to me'ila. So you're going to see this expression all the time. You're going to see it here in Zvachim. You're going to be seeing it in me'ila again and again. Lo nenem lo ma'alan basically means one. It really means one thing, but it manifests in two things. Let's first start with the lo ma'alan. Lo ma'alan means it's not subject to me'ila. Mi'ila is misappropriating. In other words, when you have a karban, in other words, we talk about mi'ila, we could talk about it vis-a-vis a karban, we could talk about it vis-a-vis Bet HaKabayis, something owned by the Beis HaMikdash. When talking about a karban, what is subject to a mi'ila? Any karban that is kache Hashem, that is going to be going up onto the Mizbeach. Parts of the karban that are not going up onto the Mizbeach, once they become mutter to be consumed, so are not subject to mi'ila anymore. So for example, shlamim. After you shech the karmi shlamim, and after you sprinkle the blood of the karmi shlamim, so the meat of the karmi shlamim is not subject to me'ila anymore. Fine. So, but the imurim of the shlamim are subject to me'ila. Okay? So the karban, the entire karban of a guy, is not subject to me'ila. Again, it speaks to this idea that it's a karban, but a lesser form. Now, if lo nenin, so you're not allowed to get benefit from it, well, why? In other words, if it's not subject to me'ila, shouldn't you be able to get benefit from it? So again, this expression means that even though you're not violating me'ila proper if you benefit from it, but still the rabbi said, you know what, it's a karban. So in other words, stay away. Don't get benefit from it. So as gzeira d'rabbanan, the rabbi said not to get benefit from it. So when you see this expression, lo nenin v'lo mo'alin, it means that even though it is not subject to me'ila proper, it's not subject to formal me'ila, but the chachamim said that because of its holy nature, so therefore one's not allowed to get benefit from it.
Like a lav?
You treat it like a gzera derabanan. You're not treat it like it is. It's a gzera derabanan. Ain chayev le mishum pigel noser v'tame. What we learned back in the Mishnah, the Brisa here repeats as well. Not subject to disqualification to pigel noser v'tame. Ain osin tamura. It can't affect a tamura. This definitely speaks to the idea which I presented in the Mishnah. In other words, speaking to this lower level kedusha of such a karban, meaning tamura is something where it's able to produce a carbon copy of itself. So over here it can't, meaning if the original is, you know, so faint, so to say, that it can't create a tamura. Ein mevi nesachin. Here's what a goy can't do. A goy can't offer nesachim in of themselves. Nesachim, the flour and the wine and the oil that's brought generally as an attachment to a karban bat, could also be brought independently. They are not in a position to bring nesachim independently. Aval, give me a moment. Aval karbanam tam nesachim, div Rabbi Shimon. But the karban does require nesachim. And so therefore, in other words, like every karban requires nesachim, their karbanot also require nesachim, and also nesachim need to be attached to that. Am Rabbi Yossi, roe ani bekulam lahachme. Now Rabbi Yossi, Divrei Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbi Shimon's position, meaning our entire Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. I'm Rabbi Yossi Rohani Bekul Lahachmer. Shenem Bam Bahem Lashem. And Rabbi Yossi says that no, I'm going to be Machmer in all these scenarios, meaning that Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yossi views the carbon of a guy, that of a carbon of a Jew, and therefore is going to be Machmer in all these disqualifications that we mentioned earlier. Now, as far as Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint, and that a carbon of a guy is of a lower level, and therefore not subject to disqualifications, and not subject to me'ila, this is going back on the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that's because of Mizbech, that's only when we're talking about the carbon. But when it comes to Kachay Bedek Abayis, when it comes to Kachay Bedek Abayis, so that means to say that a offering, when I say offering over here, I don't mean a karban, but an offering, meaning a donation made by a guy towards the Beis HaMikdash, is now full property of the Beis HaMikdash, and being that it's full property of the Beis HaMikdash, obviously going to be subject to Me'ila. Doesn't matter that it was donated by a guy, meaning now that it becomes part and parcel, full property of the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore now belongs to the Beis HaMikdash and subject to Me'ila. This is an idea, give me a moment. This is an idea that we've hit on before. This I've heard time and again. I've heard it as part of the Mesorah from the Soloveitchiks and whatever. It's an idea that expresses itself many times, in that even though we have two general categorizations of Kedusha. We have a carbon and we have Bedek Abayis. And we generally say that they both have Kedusha. In fact, we normally say that a carbon has more Kedusha, in other words, that's Kedusha Seguf, than that of the Bedek Abayis. Bedek Abayis is just Kedusha's Damim. Its value is Kaddish. It can be redeemed at any point in time. A carbon, on the other hand, with Kedusha Seguf has more Kedusha. We generally say that. But we also say the following, and you see it so clearly over here. It's really fantastic. We also say that a carbon, even though it has more Kedusha, but it's still, as a carbon, a reflection of its owner. Meaning that it has Kedusha Seguf, it's not redeemable, but it's still shayach to somebody. Meaning, it's like, as a sentence, you could say, that's my carbon. Well, what do you mean it's your carbon? It's not yours. Meaning, you're not the owner of the carbon. That's true, but, in other words, it is my carbon. It's, in other words, that carbon's for me, it's designated for me. I'm bringing it for whatever purpose I'm bringing it for. Even as a voluntary offering, it's still the one that I volunteered to bring. So it's my carbon. So the carbon, even though it has more kedusha, it's still a reflection of the owner. Bedek Abayis, on the other hand, that's objective. Meaning, Bedek Abayis, once you dedicate something to Bedek Abayis, that is now property of the Beis HaMikdash. You are not, you can't say anymore, hey, you see that ornament in front of the Beis HaMikdash? Right, that's mine. Right, that brick over there, that's mine. In other words, once you give it to the Beis HaMikdash, it's totally theirs. Right, so it really, like this basic difference. And you see it so clearly over here, meaning when the guy is bringing a karban, so is it subject to Me'ila according to Rabbi Shimon? No. Meaning because even though it's a karban, but it's a guy's karban, so the karban's still a reflection of him. Masha Enkin, if he gives something over to Bedek Abayis, is it subject to Me'ila? The answer is yes. Why? Because once you give something to Bedek Abayis, it is Bedek Abayis. In other words, it's no longer connected to him whatsoever. Okay. Let's Let's continue. Ein chayaven alem mishum pickle nos v'tam. We're continuing in the Gemara. That's where we left off. No, ketchup beta kabayis malam bam. Lo nenem v'la malam. Sorry, back up. One station earlier. Not subject to me. You can't benefit from it, but not subject to me'ilah. So lo nenem and the rabbanim v'la malam. So basically, what we said, meaning it's a rabbinic zera not to benefit from a carbon of a guy, but on the other hand, it's not subject to me'ilah. Why? Because chay mitrum. Because we learn out exera shava. Interesting how the Gemara writes out the word chet without the aleph. So chet chet mitruma. So we're learning out gzeira shava from truma. So the betruma ksiv bnei yisrael v'lo of the kocham. Truma is only for Jew, not for guy. So too, the iser meila of a carbon is only for Jew, not for guy. Ein chayam l'shem pickle nosar v'tami. My time in the asi pickle avon minosar. The asi nosar chilachilam mitruma. Now, so basically, what we're going to do is we're going to create two gzeira shavas linked side by side, and as we learned earlier, when it comes to Hekesh, you can't do that. When it comes to Gzera Shava, you can do that. You can create a double link of Gzera Shava. And we're going to now link Pigel to Nosar, Nosar to Tuma. And what do we know by Tuma? V'tuma Ksiv, B'nei Yisrov, Lo of Dekochavim. Tuma is only a concept that applies to us, not to Goyim. So therefore, Tuma is exclusively by us, not by Goyim. Same thing is going to be true by Nosar, same thing is going to be true by Pigel as well. Enos and Temura cannot affect Temura. Continuing in the Gemara, Ma'itam Adetzka Shemur La'maisa Behema. Because look in the Torah, where do you find Temura? It's one of the last psukim of Sefer Vayikra. So open up to the very end of Sefer Vayikra, and you're going to find Temura, and right next to it, in the next pasuk, you're going to find Ma'isa Behema. So the Torah connects the two. That's a Hekesh. Or Ma'isa Behema Itkish La'maisa Dagan. And now Ma'isa Behema is connected to Ma'isa Dagan. Over Ma'isa Dagan Ksiv Bnei Yisrael V'lo Ov Dekochavim. And we know that when it comes to Ma'isa Dagan, it applies to Jew, not to non-Jew. So what do we have over here? We have a double step. But over here, previously, there was a double step via Gzera Shava. That's fine. That's hyperlinks, right? We know hyperlinks, right? You click on one, you click on the next, you click on the next, and the next thing you know, you get lost in hyperlinks. Mm-hmm. So but over here, we're talking about Hekeshim. And by Karbanos, you cannot do a double Hekesh. Now, you've heard me say this already a number of times. The Gemara is going to treat this topic in a lot of detail on Daf Memtes. So in the fifth parak coming up, so less than a week from now, we're going to be discussing this in detail. But right now, all we need to know is that you cannot make a double Hekesh when we're learning halachas regarding Karbanos. And so we're learning about the exclusion of a non-Jew from the Parsha of Temura. And how are we learning it? Because Temura is mukash, it's connected, it's like found in the Torah right next to that of Meister Behema, and Meister Behema is hukash le Meister Dagan. So it's hekesh hekesh. So the Gemara now is offended. V'chidavar alame behekesh, chosem alame behekesh, you can't do that. So the Gemara says, Meister Dagan dechulin hu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Meister Dagan is not hekesh. Meaning, what is Meister Dagan? Meister Dagan is that when you take off the produce of your field, 10% is given to a levy. That's not kedusha. That doesn't have sanctity. So in other words, so the source of this halacha goes back to something without kedusha. So hani chalaman da amar. So the Gemara says. And then before I start with the next piece of Gemara, so what do I have over here? Follow. This is, I mean, I know it's a really technical discussion, but it's really interesting. You have a double hekesh where you're starting from a point of chulin, meaning that's Meister Dagan, moving to Meister Behema, that's kedusha, moving now to Temura, which is also Kedusha. So in other words, you have a double Hekesh, but on one end of the station, you have Chulin. On the other end of the station, where we're ending up with, you have Kedusha, and in the middle, you have Kedusha. So now, is this offending the rule of double Hekesh? Well, it really depends on your perspective. In other words, if you're going from the Malamed, from the Rebbe, over here, the Rebbe being the Meister Dagan, the starting point of it all, so that's Chulin. So on one hand, if I counted that as my number one, so then we're good. Because it's now not double hekesh in carbon, it's double hekesh where the start is a chulin topic. That's good. However, if the first time I'm counting is not the melamed, meaning it's not Meister Dagan, but it's Meister Behema, and then Temura being number two, so then I'm not good. So basically this is an accounting issue, but it's an important accounting issue. How do I count my double jump? Do I count from the step one, or do I count from step two? And over here, that's going to make all the difference between something I can do versus something I can't do. And that's the Gemara's point. So if we're going after the Malamed being the Rebbe, right? That's what they used to call the Rebbe, a Malamed. So if we're going after the malamin, meaning that which we're starting from, which is Meiser Dagon, we're good, because we're not now offending the rule of double hekesh. Because over here, it's not double hekesh in Kachim, it's double hekesh starting from Chulin. That's good. But if where I'm starting to count now is not from step one, but step two, meaning I'm going from Meiser Dagon to Meiser Behema, well, Meiser Behema is Kedusha. And now, if that's my first time that I count, that's Kedusha. And then I go now to Temura, well, that's also Kedusha, and I'm offending the rule of double Hekesh.
It's only a second, it's not a third, though.
I'm just...
No, but...
I hear you, but
you said you couldn't have a third derivative. This is the second derivative.
Right, and that still is offending the rule. In other words, the rule is double Hekesh. So, Ela Meiser Behema, so the Gemara says, okay. So, in other words, so... We if you subscribe to that viewpoint, you can't go that route. So we're going to take a different route. Ela Meiser Behema Chova, She'ein Kavul Azman. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, because Meiser Behema is an obligation. And we go back to something we said back in the Mishnah. I know the Mishnah didn't say it, but I said it. And, you know, I kind of knew this Gemara was coming up. But in other words, but I said it, and that is that even as a guy can offer a carbon, only voluntary carbon, not an obligatory carbon. Meiser Behema is an obligation. At the end of every year, meaning remember the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, where we really, at the end of every year, we're talking about the fiscal year of Meiser Behema, which is Rosh Chodesh Elul, although if you remember over there, that first Mishnah, it's Machlokas. But in other words, but over there, what I'm supposed to do is now take all the animals that are born this year and bring them into a pen and start allowing them to come out one by one and count. And that is not a voluntary carbon. This is an obligation. So, and Ov de Kochavim Lo Meisi, and we know that a guy doesn't bring it. And so now, very good. So once we establish that Meiser Behema is an obligation, even though it's what the Gemara described it as Kavua, so Chovashein Kavul Ozman. It doesn't have a specific time, meaning it's not calendaric. Now, I know the Gemara said that. It is somewhat calendaric, meaning, correct. In other words, correct. In other words, it's attached to a time of the year. But it's not calendaric in that there's no date in which you are absolutely obligated to bring the carbon. That's what the Gemara means when it says it's not calendaric. So, but anyway, it's not calendaric, but still it's an obligation. So I know that Goyim are excluded from Meiser Behema, and now that I know they're excluded from Meiser Behema, so now I bring it back to, I don't bring it back, I then just simply move it over to Temura. That's only one jump, and that's allowable. Okay. Ein mevi nesachim, they don't bring nesachim, Tanu Rabbanan, Ezrach mevi nesachim, Ein ovid dekochavim, mevi nesachim. The Parsha of Nesachim, it's a funny location in the Torah. Do you know where Nesachim is found in the Torah? In Parsha Shlach, right after Chet HaMeraglim. It's really unusual. Meraglim sinned. The Jews were told, now they're not going to go into Israel, not going to go for some time. They're going to be spending 40 years in the desert. And then, okay, now let's go. Let's resume back with the presentation of the Torah. Okay, Nesachim. It's a, right, it's, and the Mefarshim and Chumash explain why does Nesachim come after the Meraglim. But anyway, that's where you're going to find it. And in the opening over there, it says regarding the Nesachim Ezrach. So what does that mean? It means citizen, meaning a Jew can bring a Nesachim, non-Jew does not bring a Nesachim. Lotei olaso, I'm sorry. So Tanu Rabbanan Ezrach mevi Nesachim, mevi Dikochav mevi Nesachim, Yachol. So now here comes a legitimate Havamina. Lotei olaso tuna Nesachim, tamalam rakacha. Now I might have thought then that when they bring a carbon, okay, no Nesachim. So the Gemara says no. Meaning Nesachim as an attachment to the carbon, that is part of the carbon regulation. That's a part of the carbon rule. A carbon requires a Nesachim as an attachment. So if they bring a carbon, do they bring Nesachim with the carbon? The answer is yeah, of course. Meaning because that's part of the carbon. But in other words, Nesachim... Huh? Oh, okay, well... The Gemara is not going to make that point clear, but in other words, right now we're just talking about just the basic chova of Nesachim, meaning that their carbon is still going to require Nesachim. How are we going to bring the Nesachim, right? Either the Gemara is going to talk about it, we'll talk about it either way.
Yeah. Is the term Yain Nesach coming from Nesachim, or is it different?
No, that's right. Meaning, right. In other words, Yain, no, it's the same word. Oh. But over there, Yain Nesach is in terms of them bringing the Nesachim towards their gods. It's Avodah Zarah. Right, when we're talking about Nesachim here in Zvachim, we're talking about it as part of the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. It can be brought independently, or it can be brought as an attachment to a carbon. So that's exactly the Gemara's point vis-a-vis a guy. in brought independently, they cannot do it. Because when the Torah talks about Nesachim, it says Ezrach. When it talks about being brought as an attachment to Karban, it is required. Okay. I'm Rav Yossi Rohani, Bekun Lahachmir, Mahamed Varmamur, Bekashim Mizbech, my Taima. What is the reason? So the Gemara over here is my Taima is going on Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint, meaning the Gemara taught us about Rabbi Yossi, but then brought us back to Bamed Var Mamurim, which is going back to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. In other words, even though we did exclude a Goy's carbon from Me'ilah, that's only because of the Xereshava of Chechet, which takes us to Truma. Now, Truma, we're talking about the body of Truma itself, meaning the actual Guf Hadavar. So when we're talking about a carbon and the non-Jew's exclusion from the Ilah, we're talking about an exclusion from the Guf Hadavar. But as it relates to anything which is Kedushas Damim, they're not excluded. So if they offer something to the Beis HaMikdash, meaning not as a carbon, but as Bedek HaBayis, will be subject to Me'ilah. Continuing in the Gemara, we're on the very bottom. Tana Rabbanan. Dam Shenitma Vizarku. Blood that becomes Tameh and is sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Okay, here comes the concept which we've gone over numerous times, and here we get to go over it again because we're discussing in the context of, does this rule apply to a non-Jew? So, we know the rule is as follows. Dam Shenitma Vizarku Bishogi. That if blood can you imagine? I forgot how to say the word tumah in English. If blood becomes impure, and if blood becomes tameh, and it's sprinkled on the mizbeach, and it's done so b'shogeg, inadvertently, hurtza, it's accepted, meaning the owner of the carbon will receive a check. B'meizit lo hurtza, but if done b'meizit, it will not be accepted. B'amed var mamorim b'yachid. That's only by carbon yachid of abed sibor. When it comes to carbon sibor, b'meizit hurtza, it works whether done b'shogeg or whether done b'meizit. Now, as it relates to a non-Jew, meaning, so what we just learned together is the following halacha. Blood that is tamei shouldn't be sprinkled on the mizbech, but if done so, for an individual carbon, it's accepted. Why? So we already know the rule. The rule is based on this idea that's always hard to explain, but just a fact, that the tzitz is meratza, that one of the begadim worn by the Kohen Gadol, the tzitz, the headplate, worn on his head, provides the ritzui. It basically pushes through, it advances the carbon to be accepted even though it has become tamei. And the reason why, if done b'mezid, it's not accepted is because even though in truth the fact that this is meratza, but the chachamim made exera, the chachamim don't want people to intentionally put blood onto the mizbech.
Was Kohen Gadol always present for this type of korbanot, al korbanot?
All right. In other words, I'm not sure.
Present, the tzitz is not there.
Right, I'm not sure in terms of exactly how much presence of him do you need. Meaning, do you need just the idea of the tzitz? Do I need the actual tzitz to be there? I don't know if the Gemara ever speaks to that question as specifically as you're asking. Okay, and if you take a look at the first Rashi, Rashi points out that b'mezid, even though the Gemara says lo hurtza, right, it just simply means that you're not allowed to eat the meat. But in terms of the owner has in fact received a kapara. The Gemara discusses this in much greater detail in Yevamos. Not for now. Anyway, our focus right now as we're finishing up to the next Mishnah is just a simple question of, does this rule apply to a guy? And the Gemara says, no, it does not. So the uva ovdi kochavim, me mishogim, me mezid lo hurtza. It doesn't apply to a guy. Meaning this idea that the tzitz creates a ritzui is only for a carbon of a Jew, not for that of a guy. Now the Gemara says, now who's this going like? Seemingly it's not going like Rabbi Yossi. Because again, you go back to the beginning of the sugya, you go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah brought down a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon took us through the position of, well, you know the carbon of a guy is somewhat of a lesser of a carbon. Not subject to all the psulim. But according to Rav Yossi says the carbon of a guy has no, it's a carbon. It has the same status as that of a Jew, subject to all the disqualifications of a carbon of a Jew. So seemingly this idea that the tzitz is not meratza for the carbon of a guy, seemingly it's a Rabbi Shimon idea, it's not a Rabbi Yossi idea. And explains the Gemara, suggests the Gemara, come on to look at Rabbi Yossi. Rav Yossi, Amar B'kulani, Ro'la Achmer. Amalu Rav Papa, Filotem Rav Yossi. No, No, I can even say that this even applies to the ruling of Rav Yossi. Because Shani Hasam Da Makral Lahem. Lahem v'lo lo avdei kochavim. So the Gemara says no. Because even though, according to Rav Yossi, the carbon of a guy has all the regulations and all the potential disqualifications that a regular carbon has, but vis-a-vis this halacha, that the tzitz is meratza, pushing through tumah, allowing tumah to be offered onto the mizbeach, so that only is applies to Jew, not to non-Jew, and simply put, because of Xeris HaKosuf. So Amalei Rav Huna Breda Rav Nassim Rav Papa Lemiata Asher Heim Makdishim. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, we also have another pasuk Asher Heim Makdishim. And so Heim Velo Avdei Kochavim. So the Gemara says, El Am Rav Ashi Amakar LeRatzon Lahem VeOvdei Kochavim Lav Bnei Hartzon Ninu. So the Gemara says, no. The reason why the tzitz is not meratza is not based on the miut of the word heim, but rather it has to do with the fact that the Torah says that's l'ratzon. In other words, there's a certain ritzui that can be accomplished by the big day kahuna. And the ritzui by the that can be accomplished only for that of a carbon of a Jew, not for the carbon of a non-Jew. So the Gemara, it's basically, it's the same basic idea, meaning it's exeris hakasuv, but it's exeris hakasuv specific to the begadim worn by the Kohen Gadol, and that can only be done for a ritzui of a carbon of a Jew, not of a non-Jew. Okay, let's quickly wrap up today's daf. We finished up the discussion of which carbonus does pickle apply to. It has to follow the prototype of a carbon shlemim, as that's where the Torah introduces us to. Does pickle apply to a chazas hapanimios? Three opinions on the matter. The Chachamim of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon of the Mishnah. Yeah, Rabbi Shimon of the Mishnah, and then the Braisa brings down a middle position, which is that it does apply, but it has to be that the machshava has to be done outside in the Azara, not in the Heichal. We then asked the question of who the halacha falls like, the Gemara Paskins, and then a really interesting discussion in a few short lines of Gemara today in terms of whether or not there's a value to paskining halacha when it comes to kachim. The Gemara leaves it as an open-ended question, but as I mentioned, the Rambam paskins on all these questions. The Mishnah opened up the discussion of a carbon brought by a non-Jew, whether or not it's subject to the disqualifications of a carbon that you and I would bring, and the answer is it's a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon says it's not subject to the disqualifications, perhaps speaking to the idea that the carbon brought by a guy is kind of like a lower level carbon, therefore not subject to the disqualifications, not as sensitive, and Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says no, it's subject to all the disqualifications. And for the remainder of the daf today, basically we lifted up the hood and we looked underneath the engine, meaning how do I know that all these halachas are not specific to a carbon offered by a guy, and the Gemara brought in Psukim and Drashas in terms of how we arrived at all this information.